a few preliminary remarks about the European Union and the Eastern countries, with starting with the South Caucasus. The prehistory is that in the late 1990s, the European Union concluded partnership and cooperation agreements with the South Caucasus countries, but which did not enter force until 1999. The European Union, charitably one may say, was suffering the pangs of digestion of its expansions and wasn't really able to do anything very coherent in this time. And in fact, this began to change in 2001 when the General Affairs Council decided to play a more active political role in the South Caucasus. And this represents some of the categories I use, and especially regarding to learning, which is in the subtitle, are taken from the German-American political scientist Karl Deutsch, whose Nerves of Government, although published 50 years ago, I highly recommend as a still scintillating and largely successful in some ways attempt to translate categories of traditional European Enlightenment philosophy into information processing language. And it's still very illuminating. So he, in particular, in a dozen or two pages in the middle of the book, discusses six types of failures to learn. And I have suggested that, in fact, these can maybe be reinterpreted as capacities for learning, capacities that are necessary to develop at different stages of a learning process of a complex system in order to succeed in learning through the different stages of development through which a complex system goes. Open parenthesis, what are such stages? Three categories: emergence, ordinary language; autopoiesis, Greek word for self-creation, which you may well know; and finally, coherence. You may think of these as translations of initiation, takeoff, and spillover, those classical categories, from the examination of observed systems into the examination of observing systems. In other words, from first order to second order cybernetics theory. Well, back to the European Union. In 2003, the Commission stated that the South Caucasus falls outside the geographical scope of the European Neighborhood Program for the time being. By June of 2004, the Council, following a recommendation from the Commission, offered participation in the ENP to Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan, not sufficiently differentiating amongst them. However, if one looks at the action programs that are elaborated at that time, it's pretty clear that they were cookie-cutter sorts of things, a little more about conflict resolution in Azerbaijan, a little more about energy in Azerbaijan, and so on. But a quantitative and qualitative combined content analysis of these plans shows that there was really not much differentiation on the part of Brussels in that respect. Now, recall that the ENP was a general policy on the one hand toward the southern neighborhood in the Mediterranean and toward Asia in the east. Now, for whatever reason, finally, Brussels learned in the late 1990s, that it could not deal with both neighborhoods together. So the idiosyncratic development was that Brussels endowed the Mediterranean countries with their own secretariat for dealing with Brussels, while for whatever reason they continued in Brussels to direct the Eastern policy from Brussels without a corresponding secretariat on the Eastern side, for whatever reason. Well, the first phase, the emergence, if you will, of what turned into the Eastern Partnership and started as the NP, goes from 2001 to 2007, the development of two capacities of learning, fundamental restructuring, the creation of bureaucratic instances to deal with it, and the secondary capacity, inner rearrangement, which also has cognitive aspects. Now, the second stage of the development, where some of the failures began to appear, came as from 2007 to 2013. It was at the Commission originally wanted to have one 5-year period for this first phase from 2007. But it was at the suggestion of the South Caucasus countries themselves that this was transformed into two consecutive three-year phases, and which worked rather well. And what would have been logical and reasonable and very nice would have been if the second phase, autopoiesis, or the takeoff, of which the functional behavior refers to goal definition and realization by the part of the European Commission, if this had been also organized in two three-year periods. But it was not, because, as you know, the Eastern Partnership superseded the ENP in the Eastern Neighborhood in 2008-2009. There were justifiable bureaucratic reasons for this. There were justifiable normative reasons for this. But still, even expanding the three from the South Caucasus to the six, there was not sufficient or any substantive in practice differentiation from the standpoint of Brussels concerning that. And in fact, Brussels ran into the same problem with the EAP, with the Eastern Partnership, that it did, coming back again to things that were not learned, in previous successive enlargements. Every partner is to be treated separately in principle, but in practice they all end up being treated as members of an overall group. In fact, one may look forward to this error perhaps being reproduced when Brussels has to do with the Western Balkan countries, but one hopes not. On the one hand, not all partners can be put into one block, but on the other hand, Brussels feels obliged to deal with the whole region in a somehow collective or harmonious manner. And this is what they did with the former accession countries. Originally, you may recall, that the Commission, although it did, it ended up in a big bang, the Commission originally proposed two waves. Well, Czech Republic, yes, but Slovakia, no. Estonia, yes, but Lithuania, no. It didn't turn out like that. It was a big bang. Well, perhaps one could go on about Ukraine, but perhaps there'll be questions about that, and I see that my time is about half expired, so I will go on to the period from 2007 to 2013. Yes, it would have been very nice if this period had been divided into two three-year, instead of being interrupted by the launching of the Eastern Partnership, which you will recall it was initially a Polish-Swedish proposal, but it's never really been in the limelight. The EAP funding was an issue, major issue is that the amount of funding is considered by many a mere drop in the ocean. The illusion was formally maintained in Vilnius in 2013. The Third Partnership Summit in Vilnius in 2013 was like a wake-up call to look at the Eastern partners not as a homogeneous group and to take a U-turn and to change these relations. But it was the illusion, however, was then at that time still formally maintained that there could be developed one EAP with the six countries, including Russia. Finally, just recently, Fourth European Partnership Summit in Riga in May of this year finally brought a change of doctrine and an end to one policy towards all six countries. The East was divided into Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia on the one hand, which were strengthening relations, and with each of which an association agreement was signed in 2014. And on the other hand, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Belarus, which would form a more loosely associated group and remain part of the project in general terms. Well, to move towards a conclusion, the best, let me be optimistic, because taking the categories from Deutsch again, during this period, the second phase of autopoiesis, where the emphasis is on motivation, goal definition, realization, ideally, this is where the European Commission and the Union should be heading now that they've had a reality check or two. It's said, you know, that wisdom is recognizing a mistake the second time you make it. Well, perhaps this is the case. 2009 was a wake-up call for 2006. 2014 was a wake-up call for 2008. I think you understand the subtext. I don't have to detail the events. And so if one is fortunate, that perhaps there's, let us hope, there's just been a hiatus and a reality check, 3 minutes, thank you, So that the European Union, after 2007, being startled to the Eastern Partnership, is trying to get its feet back on the ground in orientation, that there is now, with a greater, apparently greater awareness, even if there's still a hesitation to wish to acknowledge the fact that the European Union is a geopolitical entity situated in time and in space, that goal definition realization will cease to be motivated by values, so-called European, that are proposed to be universal, and rather that in terms of the realization of these goals, the physical and material realities with which the in which the European Union is situated may be taken into account. Now, to conclude, the third phase of development of a complex system is coherence, spillover. It's about competence. It's about, very much to the point, what is involved here, again, taking categories from Deutsch, are threat systems. That is to say, systems to respond to threat, which is something that has very much been drawn repeatedly in recent months to the attention of those who run European international behavior. And the two capacities for learning that are necessary to realize that, 30 seconds, I understand, are to develop power, which has a very technical meaning, and intake channels, which means paying attention to what's out there and not only to what is going on in one's own collective head. On that note, I conclude and I thank you for your attention.